Hey, Chefra, we last week learned the Gemara on Chof Aleph Amid Beis, where the Gemara is commenting on a Machlokas HaTanoim in the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says that if someone is Somech Sukkaso Bekar Ehamita, if someone supports the Sukkah with the legs of a bed, so according to the Tanakhama, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not okay if it cannot stand up on its own. That's what the Mishnah said. The Gemara has a discussion within Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, "My time is Rabbi Yehuda," and there's a machlokas. We're not exactly sure who said what, but there's a machlokas in Reb Zain, Reb Avraham Bar Mamo. Either the reason is because ein la keva, or the reason is because it's davar mekabel tuma. Those are the two possible reasons in the Gemara, and the Gemara presents nafkaminas between the reasons, and then the Gemara says that's basically the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokas within Rabbi Yehuda. Is it because of ein la keva, or is it because you're maimed the davar hamekabel tumah? Now, deep breath. What exactly does ein la keva mean? So last week we noted that Rashi holds that ein la keva is
It moves. Let them.
it moves, okay, and therefore
Therefore, it's temporary.
it's therefore temporary. And Rabbi Yehuda Lashitaso holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva; it can't be diras arai. By definition, because this bed that's holding up the sukkah moves, so therefore the sukkah lacks in fixedness; it's not fully fixed, and therefore it's not keva, and therefore it's not good according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda's Lashitaso, that is what the Gemara said. Now, the Bali HaTosfos are bothered with the kasha on Rashi. Right. There's actually a few questions on Rashi. Let's maybe read the Tosis inside, and then we'll proceed to the other Rishonim. Ein lo keva. Tosis writes, Shemetal teles al yidei hamita. It moves. Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, the Amar Sukkah diras keva. Kach pirsh b'kontras. Lefis v'rezu matzino l'meymar de pligi nami b'sukkah shabarosh ha'agola. V'gaz shapir la'el v'perek kama. Will come up the Pirkin, Barosha Agola, Gamay Plukta, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, Barosha Sfina. According to this explanation, Tosa says, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomin is whether you need Diras Keva. And therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda holds you need Diras Keva, and something that moves is not Kavua, so a sukkah on top of a wagon would not be good. And there were two different yourselves. There are two different texts on Daf Zayin as to whether we include Rosh Ha'agola in that Gemara or not. Taisus is saying that according to this explanation, the top of a wagon would also be subject to the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and That's what Taisus says. Then Tosis goes on. That the machlokis over there is a sukkah b'rosh ha'sfina, a sukkah on the top of a boat. But according to this, b'rosh ha'agola, nami plegi. V'ha demod Rabban Gamliel b'rosh ha'sfina d'ksheira. Heichad yichol lama b'ruach she'ena mitzuya di'abasha, k'damrin l'kaman. Af agav d'mitalteles al yidei ha'sfina. Tosis is bothered by Akasha. Rabban Gamliel says that a sukkah on a boat is okay. But Nish'elat HaSheila, Taisus asks, a boat moves. And if a boat moves, it should be not kavua. So therefore, it should be possible according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Gamliel is like the same thing. So Taisus answers, right? In other words, how can we say that on top of a boat is going to be kosher? Taisus answers, Shaini Sfina d'orcha b'hachi v'chashiva keva. Af al gav dimtal tell us. Does anyone want to try to explain this line to me? Shani sfina d'orcha b'hachi v'chashiva keva. afagadim taltelas.
I would guess that it's saying that it's different because the floor is moving with the sukkah. Like it's like in physics, like you talk about in terms of your relative reference frames. So like here in our Gemara, the floor would be moving, but with the boat, the floor is stationary relative to the sukkah.
Again, we're contrasting a boat with what?
With in our Gemara, if like the sukkah actually moves because the bed frame moves.
Right. I mean, so the way the Rush says it, the Rush, I think, is saying it the way you are, Rachel, that a boat does not look like it's moving in the sense of when you're on the boat, it looks like you're in the same place and everything is moving with you, as opposed to a sukkah on top of a bed or the like. It appears like the ground is stationary and the sukkah appears like it's moving, right? It's a perspective taking thing. So the boat is going to be considered kavua, as opposed to, let's say, our case, or as opposed to sukkah on top of a wagon, where it looks like the wagon is moving because the ground always appears stationary. When it comes to a boat, it does not look like it is moving. Now, I have to admit, I don't fully understand the difference between a boat and a wagon. I think you tried to explain it, but I don't know if I fully got it, but that's the best I could do. Okay. Then Tosfos goes.
Doesn't it say, or do we skip this line, that it's able to withstand, if it's on dry land, it's able to withstand a strong wind?
The Gemara is going to say that later on. There's a machlokas about a sukkah on a boat. Everyone holds that if the sukkah is able to withstand the wind on the water, it's okay. The machlokas is if it can withstand the wind on the ground, on dry land, but it cannot withstand the wind on the water. Winds on the water apparently are stronger than winds on the ground. So that's going to be the issue that the Gemara addresses later on. Tosfos gets into like a small conversation about how everyone has to agree that the machlokas relates to diras keva also, even according to the opinion that the dispute is about davar mekabel tuma. Nonetheless, the dispute has to be about diras keva as well. That issue I don't really want to get into, but let's skip a few lines to umihu kasha. Right. It says like in the 15th parak of Kalim, Mishnah Aleph, Umiyu kasha dol kamon, de pasa Reb Yehuda sukkah gabi behema maitai, ma mishnum dechsev, chaga sukkos tasalo chashiv as yamim, sukkah ru'uya l'shuva, vizu eina ru'uya l'fi she'ein olin l'biyantiv. V'hashta tebegwe mishnum dimtau teles, ayadei behema, v'eina teva, midid heva somich b'kar e hamita. Okay, I just read like a lot. Does anyone want to tell me what I just said? Tosfos is bothered by a kasha from sukkah on an animal. Yeah, Tanya?
So if it has to be ra'ui for 7 days, it doesn't just mean the structure has to last 7 days. It means you have to be able to access it. And since you can't mount a behema, you can't access it for all 7 days.
Excellent. And that, so a sukkah that's made on the behema is possible because it can't be accessed for all 7 days because you can't climb into the sukkah because that would be like the equivalent of using an animal, etc. So how's that relevant for our conversation? How's that akasha for us?
Why do they not bring the argument of metal talad?
Right. Yes, according to what we said, that in la keva, that if it moves, it's not kavua. So you don't need to say this razzle dazzle thing that the sukkah doesn't last for 7 days. You could just say something more basic, that It moves. So Tosis feels that this question is insurmountable, and Tosis leaves it schwer. Tosis does not answer this question at all. Okay. But what we basically have is the Shita of Rashi, that Ein Lo Keva means, according to Rashi, that the Sukkah moves. That's the Shita of Rashi. And Tosis ultimately rejects Rashi based on this case of the animal. So then Tosis gives a different explanation, an explanation that comes from the Yerushalmi. Right, ubi Yerushalmi mashma, the taima lefisha ein lakeva she'ein la yud tfachim min hamita ad legag. According to Yerushalmi, ein lakeva means that there are no 10 tfachim above the bed until you get to the schach. It's like very short, so that you don't have 10 tfachim there. And the machlokas between Reb Zeir, Reb Abba over here, the Yerushalmi has different names. Yerushalmi has Reb Ami and Reb Abba, etc. V'zeh lashono, this is the language Yerushalmi Tosis quotes. So according to Tosis, Ein Lo Keva means that if I make a sukkah on top of a bed, the reason why it's no good, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because you do not have 10 tefachim. So here's the problem, though. Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good. According to the Chachonim, it is good. Why would it be good if the sukkah does not have 10 tefachim? Right? The halacha is there's a minimum height for a sukkah. Why would it be, how could it possibly be good if I don't have 10 tefachim? Zoe?
I think we're saying, so Tamar and I learned, when we learned that we tried to draw it, we were under the impression that like you have a bed with the top of it, and then you have less than 10 tefachim making the sukkah, and that you kind of eliminate the bed from that. And so it just becomes this whole structure of just the schach and underneath.
If the bed is not there, so I would have 10 tefachim, but because the bed is there, I don't have 10 tefachim. But ultimately, I don't have 10 tefachim of usable space. Because yeah. Ultimately, there is a bed.
Right.
So how could it be that according to the Chachamim, it would be kosher? I understand why according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's non-kosher, because I don't have 10 tefachim of usable space. But how could it be that according to the Chachamim, it would be kosher? It should be, and we had this expression in the Gemara earlier in Daf Hey, it should be, this is like a Dira Srucha. It's like a very squashed area, and Dira Srucha is problematic. Now, just FYI, going back to that sugya and daf, hey, the Rambam assumes that Dira Srucha is not possible. Dira Srucha just should not be done l'chatchila. So maybe this Gemara fits in with that Rambam. But it still is problematic. How can it be that according to the Chachamim, Ein Lo Keva is okay? Why would it be okay? Right? Ultimately, there's no ten tefachim. Rachel?
So I don't have an answer for you. Something that I guess my chavrutas and I were trying to, I guess we're struggling with understanding the Yerushalmi a little bit, in terms of like visually how, I guess we are ultimately wondering if the Yerushalmi is orienting the bed differently than we initially discussed in last year.
Because, yes, it definitely is.
Oh, in okay. Here, so we're not crazy.
No, not at all here. In other words, last year, the way we set it up is that this is like the bed, let's say, and the bed is supporting the sukkah, right? Is that the way we did it last time? You can see my beautiful artwork. This is the bed, that's the sukkah. This week, or according to Yerushalmi, the situation is a little bit easier to understand, which is I have a bed inside the sukkah. But because the bed is here, I don't have a full 10 tefachim. Let's say I have only 8 tefachim. And that's why it's no good. Because you don't have 10 tefachim. That's why it's no good according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Wait, so it's not being ma'amid the schach in this picture?
Well, ma'amid is a different opinion. But yes, it's not being ma'amid the schach.
Because didn't we just decide that al gabe, like lekule alma, was okay, but it was only if it was resting on it.
The next part of the Gemara says al gabe lekule alma is okay. 1 second. So what's Yerushalmi mean?
Sima had a very creative understanding that Rachel and I bought because we didn't have any other understanding. She just thought that you inverted the bed and that the legs of the bed support the sukkah.
You inverted. So here's my sukkah, or let's do it like this. Here's my sukkah, and my upside down bed supports the sukkah. Like, this is the bed upside down, like
the person's lying
over here.
Yeah, and then we got into the details of whether it was a bed frame, that if the mattress could be removed, and yeah.
So when we say that you don't have 10 tefachim, what does that mean?
So that would be, I guess we weren't thinking of the bed being functional. I guess at least the way I was thinking about it is the bed is purely for support. It's not really functional for sleeping, but it would kind of make sense that the distance from, I guess, where the floor is supposed to be until the bed frame, like if you think about like 10 tefachim as being 30 inches, like maybe my bed is that high off the ground, but maybe not, which is why it could be plausible that from the floor, which is now where the top of the bed frame is, to the slach, which is resting on top of, I guess, the bedposts, you now have less than 10 tefachim. No,
what you're saying is like they have a bed, like with bedposts, right? And the bedposts are supporting the schach, but you have less than 10 tefachim above the bed, right? So the person's going to lie on the bed. That person doesn't have 10 tefachim. Is that the, am I understanding you correctly? My beautiful picture?
No, yeah. But what you're saying makes more sense. So I'm going to go with that.
No, I think we said that, Rachel, because then we were talking about that other thing that we had seen where the pillows and mattresses never elevated it because they could be moved. And so then that fits in with Rabbi Schwartz with what you're asking now. Like, oh, maybe the pillows and mattress suddenly do count.
So the Gemara says that the pillows and mattress are not mema'ed the sukkah, right? If it's there only temporarily.
Which explains why Chachamim would think that it's okay.
Because it's only temporary. That's why. Possibly. Possibly. Yep. Turn to the Rush. Yeah, Zoe?
I'm kind of bothered by this whole thing, because if we're in Rabbi Yehuda land, then our bed is awry, and isn't it mevatel from the sukkah around it?
If we're in Reb Yehuda land, the bed is awry, so the bed is not mevatel the sukkah. The sukkah is keva, the bed is awry. So that would be why, according to Reb Yehuda, it should be kosher. And now we're saying, according to Reb Yehuda, it's pasul.
That's where I'm confused.
Right. So I think what the Yerushalmi means is that it's pasul according to Reb Yehuda, just because I don't have enough space. Right. It's not that the bed is mevatel the sukkah, but I don't have 10 tefachim of space. So it's no good, because you need 10 tefachim of space above you for it to be a kosher sukkah.
So in this diagram right now, what are our dimensions?
So let's say the entire thing from beginning to end is 10, mm-hmm. right? And
it's like 8 and 2 or something.
Right.
Or 6, sure.
Yeah. Or whatever. I was going to do 6 and 4.
It's some division of 10. Yeah.
Huh? Now, but the question really is, how can it be that according to the Chachamim, it is okay? So the Rush, at the end of this Rush, has a conversation about this Gemara. Here, you see the Rush in Siman Aleph. So towards the end of Siman Aleph, the Rush begins, the Im Tom Alephi HaYerushalmi. It's like, I'd say 10 lines before the end of Siman Aleph. It's actually 10 lines, yeah, 10 lines before the end. The imtomer is the third word into the line. Vimtomer. Lefi ha-Yerushalmi de-mefarish lefi she'in asar tzvach mikari ha-mita v'ad-legag, mali samach, mali sikei ha-gabe ha-mita. Right? This, I think, is Tanya's question. Right? The Rush is asking that the Gemara is going to say later on, Lo shanu ela samach, aval sikeich is okay. So the Rush is bothered by your kasha. The Rush says, what difference does samach and sikeich make if the issue at hand is that you don't have 10 tefachim above the bed? V'yesh lomar. Kevan she'ena suka nismeches al hamita, v'yishakolei lamita ika avir eser, v'suka miskayemes, hare yesh la keva be'ena nifseles b'shvil shehichnis ba mita umiyit avira, mida deheva karmuksasech de parakama. So the Rush answers that the reason why it's okay, or if it's okay, it is okay because the bed is just like the pillows that we had in the first perek, which is not mima'it the sukkah. The difference between samach and sikeich is that sikeich is no good because you can't remove the bed. Excuse me, samach is no good because you can't remove the bed. Sikeich is going to be okay because I can remove the bed. And even though I don't have 10 tefachim, but since the bed is like a temporary thing, this is my bed, it's like a temporary thing. So therefore, just like if I put pillows in a sukkah, it's not mema'it, so also the bed is not mema'it. Samach is no good because you can't remove the bed. But sikeich al gavav is okay, even though you don't have 10 tefachim, right? If this is the sukkah, and this is my bed, and I don't have 10 tefachim, it still is okay because it's no worse than the pillows that you put into the sukkah. So the Rush is saying, again, I think the Rush is bothered by your questions. And he says that the case is that the bed itself does not create a problem. But if it's samach and you can't remove the bed, then it is a problem. Then there's a problem that you don't have 10 tefachim. Vahashtanami, you see it, it's like now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's 6 lines on the bottom. Vahashtanami mitzvitsam nama kushyasi, da ase abayilash mi'inan, umi dehevi rab al fasi, divrei abayi niresha posek kireb Yehuda. Says the Rush, the Rif quotes Abaye's statement. Abaye says that they are that lo shanu ela samach, aval sikeich is okay. That's Abaye's statement. The Rif quotes that statement. That statement would indicate that we paskin like Reb Yehuda. Almas virilei kavasi. So we see that he holds like Reb Yehuda. Meaning, what the Rush is saying is that the Rif, who quotes the statement of Abaye, has to agree with, the Rif has to agree with Reb Yehuda Lahalacha. Because if you don't agree with Reb Yehuda Lahalacha, why are you quoting the statement of Abaye? V'gam ani omer, detam keva ikar. So the Rush says, I hold that the reason of keva is the main reason. Meaning, if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda even, the Gemara's conversation is within Reb Yehuda. That would seem to indicate that we paskin like Reb Yehuda. But even so, I have a question as to what is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda. Is the reason because of keva, or is the reason because of maimon? Says the Rush, it seems to me that the real reason is the reason of keva, kidi'isa birushami, like the Yerushalmi says. Meaning, what the Rush is saying is as follows, if I understand it correctly, even if you're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, which the Rif seems to do, but we do not hold of the reason of maimon. Because the main reason is the reason of keva, which is the official reason that the Rishalmi gives. The main reason, excuse me, is the reason of 10 tfachim as interpretation of keva, which is the Yerushalmi's reason. The Yerushalmi does not seem to be working with the Maimid approach. Does that make sense?
Rabbi Schwartz, what's weird is we reject all of those Tanayim who say that it should be keva, that the sukkah should be keva.
So many Tanayim say the sukkah should be keva, but in our Gemara, when our Gemara uses the expression lefisha ein la keva, according to the Yerushalmi, what that means is that I cannot sit in that sukkah bikvios, because the sukkah is too squashed. Right? The word keva could mean a lot of different things. But the Rush is of the opinion that the real reason is the Rush holds that we paskin like Reb Yehuda, but we paskin like the reason of Ein La Keva within Reb Yehuda. The Baal HaMa'or over here writes that as a matter of halacha, we do not pass on like Reb Yehuda at all. Again, what we presented in Shir last time is that in order to say Maimid is puzzle, you have to take a few leaps. Leap number one is that you have to pass on like Reb Yehuda. Leap number two is that you have to pass on like the reason of Maimid within Reb Yehuda. Says the Rush, I'm willing to say that you pass on like Reb Yehuda, because our whole Gemara is going according to Reb Yehuda. I am not willing to say, like Rashi, that it's Reb Yehuda l'shitaso, because if that's the case, you can't possibly pass on like Reb Yehuda, because we know throughout the Masechta, right, we do not pass on like Reb Yehuda that a sukkah is a diras keva. You can't possibly say that one. But I'll say like Reb Yehuda, and I'll say the real reason is keva nonetheless, but the real reason is the Yerushalmi's definition of keva, not the Rashi definition of keva. That's the Rush so far. As opposed to the Baal HaMa'or, who says that we do not pass on like Reb Yehuda at all. Hello, Dr. Lang.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. We're very formal here.
Glad to hear it. Could you just sum up again the Yerushalmi's definition of keva? That's where I'm feeling a little lost.
Keva means, can you sit there b'kevius? Can you sit there in a normal way? If it's too squished, if it's less than 10 tefachim, you cannot sit there b'kevius. That's what the Yerushalmi means. The Rush is going to paskin like Reb Yehuda, and he'll paskin like the Yerushalmi's take on keva within Reb Yehuda. Three lines from the bottom of the Rush. So he tells me I always need a cup of a drink when I give shiur, and you're right, and we're going to push on and we're going to do it. V'lo yadana. I don't know. Me'ezatam yakshiru rabbonon hecha desamach hasta al karei hamita ve'ein mikarei hamita ad hagag asara, because it's diras ruchani. The Rush says, I don't know how the Chachamim could possibly say it's kosher, because ultimately it's a squashed dira. Ultimately it's a diras rucha. And if it's a diras rucha, it should not be kosher at all, according to Chachamim. So how does Chachamim say it's kosher? Hilkach nireh d'Reb Yehuda lefrushe divrei Tana kama asa v'leka hacha plukta. Meaning, the Rush, I think, is saying that there's no machlokes between Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah at all. The Tana kama says it's kosher. Reb Yehuda says, by the way, if you don't have 10 tefachim above the bed, then it's possible. Reb Yehuda is not disagreeing. He is saying, by the way, right? That's what the Rush says. Rabbi Yehuda's lefrushe divrei Tanakama asa v'leka hachaplukta. What he's doing is he's trying to just explain the Tanakama, but there's no machlokas. Okay. Hello, Ms. Gutman. How are you?
I'm good. I was just going to ask where, I didn't follow where the Dira Srucha fit in. Are we comparing this case to that?
So it fits in like this. Dira Srucha is a halacha that if my sukkah is too squished, it's not kosher. I can't sit there, it's not kosher. So if I have a bed in the sukkah, and now I don't have 10 tfachim, I only have, let's say, 8 tfachim on top, so this will be a Dira Srucha. It's too squishy. So the Rush is bothered by the Kasha. I understand that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's pasul. But how could the Chachamim say it's kosher in this case? How could anyone say it's kosher in the sukkah is less than 10 tefachim? So to that, the Rush answers, you know what? The reason why it's kosher according to the Chachamim is because according to the Chachamim, you don't have 10 tefachim. Reb Yehuda is not arguing on the Chachamim. He's explaining. The Chachamim, you say it's kosher. Good, says Reb Yehuda. But it's only kosher when you have 10 tefachim. If you don't have 10 tefachim, then it's ein lakeva, then it's pasul. That's the way the Rush is understanding the whole thing. Good? Hello, Rachel. How are you?
Better before we discuss the Rush. I guess one thing that I'm struggling with is that haven't we already established in other Mishnayot that if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's no good? So like maybe, I guess I'm searching for a novelty, and by how the Rush understanding, you completely get rid of anything new being taught here, at least to my understanding.
Correct. What the Rush is teaching me that's new is just pshat in the Mishnah. I thought that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Chachamim. The Rush is teaching me, by the way, he's not arguing on the Chachamim because we learned, like you said, 20 different times that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. So there's nothing new lahalacha. What the Rush is adding is something new in pshat.
Rachel, aren't you asking how the Mishnah has nothing new to say?
Yeah, like, I don't know if it's like an idea that like the Mishnah are all supposed to teach something new as opposed to
that's what you meant, that the Mishnah has nothing. Well, I'll say it like this. According to one of the Amoraim, certainly the Mishnah is teaching me a lot. According to the version that Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good because it's maimid, so then the Mishnah is teaching me a ton within Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the other opinion, so you're right, then the Mishnah is not teaching anything because Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the position of the Tanakhama. It's a little bit, it's a strange read according to the Rush, that the Machlokas Amoraim is whether or not there is a Machlokas HaTanayim in our Mishnah. Right? That is a little strange. I admit that. Okay. So that is Ein Lakeva. We have the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of the Yerushalmi. And we also encountered a Machlokas, whether I pass in like Reb Yehuda, whether I pass in like the Chachamim. That's a machlokas in the Baal HaMa'ar and the Rush, let's say. There is a third shita that the Ran quotes in the name of the Ravid on Daf Yud the Daf HaRef, that the Ravid says Ein Lakeva means that the sukkah cannot stand on its own. The sukkah will fall over if you move the bed. This, I think, is the way we said it initially, that you have a bed, and the bed is supporting the schach, and because you can move the bed, or it's likely you'll move the bed, because people have to sleep at night, you're going to take the bed. So therefore, the sukkah is ein lakeva. the smita is omedes li natel. It's not just a halacha that you're supporting it. I could support something with whatever I want, let's say, but I have to support something with an item that's assumed to remain there for a long time. If you put your bed there as the support, so it's likely the sukkah is going to fall down. And that is what the Gemara means, lo shanu ela samach aval sikech. The only time it's puzzles when the sukkah is supported by the bed, but if it's sikech al gabov, in that case, right, what would sikech mean? I guess that means that it's the sukkah, the bed is inside the sukkah, like we explained it. In that case, it's going to be kosher. Now, the Ran and the Ritva are bothered by Yakasha that the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis tells me that there's a psal of bundles of schach. Right? I can't put a whole bundle up as the schach. That's the special halacha on Daf Yud Beis that we learned. It's a gezeira. Someone's going to come back from the field at night. He's going to be tired. She's going to be tired. They'll put the sukkah down there, and they don't intend for it to be stacked. It's going to end up being tassel woman also, etc. So these bundles of straw, you cannot use a stack, but you can use them as walls. The kulang shirim with the fanos. They're all kosher as walls. So the Ritva and the Ran are bothered by Akasha. How can you tell me that all these things are kosher for the wall? Don't we know from our Mishnah that if I support the sukkah with a bed, it's not kosher? So how could it be kosher when I use my bundles of twigs as the walls?
They're not makabel tuma.
They're not makabel tuma, but it is something that is not going to be kosher as stach. And let me elaborate. And the halacha of maimid tells me that it's not going to be kosher if you support the schach with a non-schachable item. If you hold like this other reason of maimed, so then the supports of the schach have to be schach-like material. But the Mishnah Yud Beis says that I could use the bundles of twigs to support my schach. They could be kosher as the walls, but the bundles of twigs are not kosher as schach themselves. So how could it be kosher as the wall? Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. Because they're not kosher because of the gezerah, the Rabbanon.
Yeah. So the Ran and the Ritva both say that the reason why there's no din of maimid on those bundles of twigs is because bundles of twigs are not posel as schach min haTorah. They're only posel midrabanan. And because it's only a psul drabanan, therefore the din of maimid does not apply. This is just, I feel bad because time is late, so I'll just, Chacham Avad Yosef in the Tshuva and the Yechav Adas and Chilek Vav talks about the schach mats. So the schach mats, when you think about it, is really an issue of maimed. Because each little bamboo finger, right, that's like a technical term, each little piece of bamboo would fall apart or wouldn't last if not for the string that ties it together. So the string is really maimed the schach. If you are worried about maimed, so then how can you use these mats? So there are a few things to be said. First of all, who says we hold of minded? Did any of you have a chance like do the sources in the Shulchan Aruch yet? Rachel's shaking yes, everyone is shaking no. Okay. Just thinking. Now, let me just say it very quickly. Maybe for next week we'll read it inside. But very quickly, there's a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch whether we hold of a din of maimed. Simple reading of the Gemara is that we should not hold of maimed at all. Nonetheless, there is one opinion in Shulchan Aruch that says you should not put staff on top of a ladder, which sounds like the din of maimed, the ladder supporting the staff. So the Magen Avraham tries to address that contradiction. Magen Avraham assumes that fundamentally there's no psal of maimed, but l'chatchila you should not build a sukkah with a maimed. But what the Ritva and the Ran are saying over here is that even if you hold that l'chatchila you should not make a sukkah with a maimed, but that's only if it's a maimed that's psal min ha-Torah. If I have something which is pasul eschach midrabanan, that can be the maimed. So in this case of the mats, if you have string that ties the mats together, if that string comes from natural fibers, so min ha-Torah it's kosher eschach, midrabanan it's pasul. So there's no psul, even if you want to be machmir on maimed, there's no psul of maimed on something that's only psul midrabanan. If it's like hemp string or the like, so it's going to be okay. But if your string is nylon that holds it together, that's going to be a problem if you're nervous about maimed. As a matter of halach, I'm not nervous about maimed, but the Magen Avraham has an opinion that l'chatchila, we should be nervous about maimed. That's basically the 32nd synopsis of the Maimed Sugya. There's a lot that we didn't get to. We'll have to discuss whether we want to pick up from here next week in Yiras Hashem or not. I feel bad, but I'm going to have to log off just to catch my breath and Zoe to take a drink. Okay, Chevra. So honestly, if there's any questions, please like send it to the WhatsApp. And okay, thank you for coming to learn.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you. Call to.